This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Everyone tries to time the market. And everyone, most people, fail at it.
Everybody fails at that. I want to be clear.
So fair. I was giving you a chance to say that you're better than everyone else. But
no way.
I'm just giving you a chance to puff out your chest a little bit. So if someone does have stocks right now, right, and they're sitting there saying, okay, I sell. I may take a hit on a couple. I lost around like 20%. I may be down in a couple of things. You're sitting saying, wait. We saw the lever that you said. That's when you sell your treasury bonds, right? The lever is when interest rates go back down. When the first cut, you start selling your treasury bonds, right? What's the lever for you in terms of now it's time to enter back into the market?
Oh, now that's a tricky one. Just like with selling the treasury bonds, let me just hit that, because a lot of people would be like, okay, so I buy treasury bonds now as they go down. Okay, you'll never get the bottom, so don't try. Okay, it's just,
well, do they put all their money in the treasury bonds right now, or they slowly start buying every time there's a interest rate hike, they buy more?
It's going to depend on the person. You know, each person has money that comes in a different way. I would say if you don't need to put it all in all at once, then dollar cost average on the way down. We know that the Fed's raising rates this year alone. So over the course of the remaining months left in 2022, just take chunks and buy every single month. That would be the smart play. But then you have to look at the next play, and that is, where do you get out? Well, when everybody around you is complaining and crying, and you see it in the news every day, it's a bloodbath. You know, people are losing their retirements, and you know, people are coming on, oh, I was going to retire this year, and now I got to work another 5 years or more. When you start seeing that, all I want you to do is just look at your statement, because you don't really need to look at treasury bonds. They do what they do. You look at it, and when it's up and you have whatever gain, it doesn't matter what your gain is. Sell. Doesn't matter. Making money is making money. So just pick an exit. What do you want to make? 10, 20, 30%? When you look at your statement and it just feels good because there's green again and you're so used to seeing red, sell them. Great. Now you got money in cash. Then the next question you asked is, okay, now when do we buy back in? This is tricky. I don't know. I think a lot of people right now think that there's blood in the streets. I truly think that a lot of people right now think there's a buying opportunity. You know who there's a buying opportunity for? Professional investors. People that understand support and resistance levels. They're buying now because it is a buying opportunity in the short run, but it's a risky buying opportunity. And I wouldn't tell anyone right now is a buying opportunity. You talk about blood in the streets. You know what that is? Take a pin, prick your finger, and wipe it on the ground. That's the blood in the streets right now. There's still way more greed than there is fear. We haven't even seen fear yet. Look at the volatility index. It's not even a thing yet. It's like, oh, what's the internet? This is going way back. It's like, what's the internet? Oh, it's this thing that's going to change the world. Oh yeah, right. Right. That's where we're at with the markets in the blood. It's not time to buy, but you're never going to know exactly where the bottom is. So the best way, when the media talks about the carnage, when the media shows red, 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 when the media is all over it, well, start buying. Pick some stocks that you know, like, and understand. Pick some investments that you absolutely know, like, and understand. This is the third law of wealth, called protect your wealth, and start buying into investments that you have a knowledge of, that you understand the industry, and that you like. Why would you buy something you don't like? To make money. No, you're probably losing it because you don't understand it. So just start slowly buying positions in it. That's what people like Warren Buffett do. They don't just buy one position. They slowly buy positions as it goes down because you can't get the bottom. Not Ray Dalio, not Warren Buffett, not Chris Noggle. None of us will ever find the bottom or the top. You cannot time the market. It is impossible. And that's been proven way too many times. So just dollar cost average in.
So you think we're going way worse than it is right now?
100%. You haven't even seen the beginning. You haven't even seen the first leg of the fall. This is nothing. This is merely the commercial that starts. This is the first commercial when you sit down in a theater to watch the main presentation. We haven't even got through the other good commercials.
I guess my next question is, if someone has, you know, wants to take advantage of the opportunity, they have lines of credit available to them, things like that, that maybe some other people aren't have. What's your advice for people who have, you know, potential to go out and they have money right now available to them? Interest rates are kind of going up on them, but they have availability to invest.
All right. So I can really speak only from how I invest. So I'm just, I just want to be transparent. I'm not making suggestions, recommendations. I'm just telling you what I do through all the years of how I figured this out. I think the smartest thing, if you have available credit to you, is you need to make that money go to work. And I love talking about home equity lines of credit, because everybody has a house, or everybody that has a house, guess what? Your house is worth more now than it has ever been, and probably more now than it will be next year, the next 5 years, maybe even the next 10 years. It's at a peak. So you have all this equity. So what are you going to do with it? Well, the thing not to do is don't leave it sitting in your rafters, and don't leave it sitting on your couch while it watches your TV and you're out working. Let's make that money go to work. So now we need to practice some banking. We need to understand how banks operate. Banks operate solely on a spread. They pay you one, they lend it out at five. They make a 4% spread. So now let's talk about your line of credit or your home equity line. Let's say it costs you five, but you think it could go to six. So that's your barometer, right? Let's just go to the six. So in order for you to make an appropriate spread, you have to lend that out for more than six. So how do you do that? Well, I do it in real estate. I think real estate's the greatest investment on earth, but I do it very safely because I loan money, just like a bank does, in first secured position, meaning I'm numero uno. If something goes bad, that house is now mine. And I don't lend 100% of the property. I lend usually anywhere between 70 and sometimes 90 to very experienced real estate investors. But here's the trick. I don't lend my money out for any longer than 12 months. And pretty soon, I'm going to reduce that down to eight. And then after that, six. Because I understand the tailwind of the markets falling. See, real estate's got a nice little lag. So when the markets tank, you're, unless it's 2008, unless you know something catastrophic happens to real estate, you got a 6 to 8 month lag. Okay. So now you know that if everything dumps out, you've got 6 to 8 months. So if I'm lending money on real estate, I'm pretty confident that that real estate's going to be okay if I'm only out 6 months. And I lend out at a really good rate. I charge 12%. And that rate's going to go up soon too as interest rates go up. So 12% minus a 6%, you're doing good. You're making a 6% spread. So you've protected yourself. You've got a secured asset that you can fall back on. Unlike the stock market, you can't just say, hey, Apple, I just lost 40% of the money I invested in you. You guys going to make me whole, sell some of those iPhones, you know, dump off some of those assets you got so I can get my money? No. But in real estate, when you're a lender in first position, you absolutely do have that. So that's what I do. And I do it through Private Money Club, which is just a community of lenders and borrowers. But that's I think, the safest place. But the other thing, you know, getting away from retirement accounts, talking about just money you got sitting in the bank. The one thing I will also say, and Jason, you mentioned this early on, I don't do what most of you do. I follow exactly what the Rockefellers did and the Rothschilds and the JP Morgans and the all the greats, the Walt Disneys, the Ray Kroc's, the sitting president in the United States today does this. I don't keep my money in banks. See, I learned how to create a banking system, and I keep my money in a vehicle that you all know, but all probably hate, called whole life insurance. But before you stop, you don't know what I'm talking about. I promise you. When I say whole life, you think it's that overpriced whole life insurance policy that your advisor or your agent's selling you that they're making a huge commission, and you are completely wrong. The way that I structure the contracts of these whole life policies is specially designed and engineered. They don't look like a life insurance policy. They function just like a bank account. And this is why the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds did this. They didn't trust banks. So they found the safest financial institution, which was none other than giant mutually owned insurance companies. And in order to create a banking system, they had to find a vehicle that they could store and warehouse capital in. The only vehicle around was whole life. Well, fast forward to today, whole life's still the reigning champ because it's one of the only vehicles you can warehouse your capital in that is guaranteed to never lose money. You're guaranteed to make an interest rate contractually. It cannot change. The insurance companies have paid dividends every year consecutively, and we're at the 32-year low on dividends. Not only that, here's the thing, and this is what people don't understand. Now, remember I said I lend money at 12%. If I were to, Jason, I'm just going to pick on you. Let's just pretend that you had a great real estate deal. You came to me and said, Chris, I need $100,000. Well, I look and I say, all right, I underwrite your deal. And I say, I'll lend you $100,000 at 12%. You say, okay, let's do it. Now, I'm going to pretend the old way I did it. I take $100,000 from my traditional bank account. So here's $100,000 and I give it to Jason and he pays me 12%. How many times did I make money in that transaction?
Once,
right? I made 12% because that's what Jason paid me. Now, let's just assume that now I've gotten wise and I've learned a thing called the infinite banking concept, and I've learned what the wealthy do with money. And instead of keeping 100 grand in somebody else's bank where they make my money work for them and they make a spread like we talked about, I just change where my money goes first. So now I take that 100 grand and I put it into a specially designed and engineered whole life policy. Now Jason comes to me and says the same thing. Remember, all we did is change one thing, and that was where the money sits and where it starts. Jason says, I need to borrow 100 grand. I say, okay, I underwrite it. No problem. Now, instead of me taking a withdrawal from my specially designed and engineered whole life, I'm going to call that my bank. Okay. I take a loan because the insurance company allows me to borrow some of that death benefit that's going to be paid out the day that I die. They allow me to use my death benefit up to the amount of cash I have in the account. So how much was in the account? 100 grand. Yep. So they allow me to borrow against my death benefit. So I take a loan from the insurance company for $100,000. Now, I want to be clear so everybody understands this. This 100 grand in my hand, whose money is this? It's not yours. Mine. Well, it is, but it's not. It's future death benefit. It's the insurance company's money, really, at this point. So they give me 100 grand. So where is my 100 grand? If this 100 I'm holding isn't mine, it's a loan from the insurance company. Where's my 100?
Still working.
Yeah, it's still in that insurance policy, earning interest and dividends. And how much do my policies make today, May 2022? 6%. So I'm making 6. So the 100 in my hand, I said it was a loan. Now people don't like loans. They're like, oh, loan's bad. Well, what if I told you the loan the insurance company gave me never needed to be paid back? Would that be bad? Then your answer would be, well, I don't know. Maybe I never have to pay this 100 grand back because if I don't pay it back, the insurance company will never ask for it. Someday the insurance company knows I'm going to die. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring bad into this, but we all know we're going to die someday, right?
They'll let you pay the 6% for the rest of your life until you die.
Yeah, they will pay me 6% on my 100 grand for the rest of my life until the day I die, okay? And the 100 grand I'm holding is a loan against my death benefit. So all they're going to do the day I die, they're going to make themselves whole. They're going to subtract 100 from the death benefit that was promised to my beneficiaries, and they're cool. So I got
there's no interest rate on that hundred grand.
And that's where I'm going. So yeah. Of course they don't give you money for free. Insurance companies are profit companies, not nonprofits. So how much do they charge me? The interest rate today is 4%. So I pay 4% on this 100 grand, and how much am I making? Six. So what's my spread?
2.
It's a gross spread of 2. Remember I told how banks do the same thing. Well, all I did is I copied exactly what a bank does every day. The only thing I changed is I decided to take back control of my money. And instead of giving the bank control of my money so they can make my money work for me, I learned how to create my own bank. And then I learned how to do exactly what the bank does every day. So now I give Jason this 100 grand. I'm making a 2% spread already. Jason pays me 12. How many times am I making money?
Twice.
Now, here's the last piece of this equation. Jason pays me 12%. Am I going to take the interest Jason pays me every single month? Am I going to give it to the traditional bank? Or have I wised up and started treating my money the same as I used to treat the bank's money and take the 12%? Instead of giving it to the traditional bank, I just take the 12% and I move it over into my bank. And in doing that, I'm paying my loan back to the insurance company, meaning my spread gets bigger every single month because I'm paying it 4% interest rate on a declining balance, and I'm earning 6% on a compounding balance. Folks, this is not difficult stuff. But yet, you could always go back and revert to what Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, and all the gurus say, don't ever put your money in whole life. But hey, to each their own. I'll continue to make money twice, guaranteed, and all that 6% I make is all tax-free as well. This is how I do things today. I just changed where my money went first, and I learned how to be a bank.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you for your attention. And if you made it this far, you're clearly somebody who wants to take their business to the next level. You want to get better. And I understand that being an entrepreneur sometimes can feel like a little bit of a lonely journey, which is why being part of a thriving community of like-minded people is just so important. It was super helpful in my own development as well. And as is the ability to instantly get answers to the questions you may have in order to grow and scale your business. It's for that reason why I launched a consulting coaching program called the Market Domination Method. And guess what? If you're listening to this and you hear this, we're open for applications right now for new members to join. So to request an invitation or to book a free diagnostic call, call it a game plan call. I'll literally sit with you and demonstrate the value that we could bring to your business on that call. Let's jump on a call. We'll discuss ways you could possibly grow your business. Head on over to jportnoy.com, jportnoy.com. You'll find all the different ways you could work together. It's going to be the best business decision you'll make. So hope to speak soon. Head on over to jportnoy.com, book that free game plan call, and I look forward to talking to you soon.